He cares for us, always. A few weeks ago, Chris and Brendan and I took the boys to church camp. And on the way there and on the way back, I kept getting this call. You know, never been to Calum before, you can't really take calls there. I was able to connect with Lee from the Shinston News, and she said, "Hey, I've heard you guys are embarking on this great project at your church and want to do an article about it." I don't know, and I always feel kind of weird about doing those kind of things. It's not for us or me or any of you, it's for the glory of God. I don't want to be boastful or sound that we're bragging about what God is doing. I said, but I don't know. And so I did the interview, and I called some people and said, "Do you think it'd be okay if we put that in the paper?" "Well, look, there's lots of things in the paper about churches." And so I don't know if you get the Shinston News, not sure how many people do, but nice article. And as we were singing, "To God be the glory, the great things he has done," I think about my time here at the Baptist Church. To God be the glory for the great things that he's done on this entire property since the beginning of this church. This church is moving toward 135 years old. Now, this building is, this particular building, back to, it's in here, 1912, 1914. But I think about all the ministry, think about that, and all the lives that have been changed, the souls have been saved, and just all the ministry that's been done. To God be the glory. And as it indicates in this, there are some grammar mistakes, but not mine, so you know. Those were not quotes, but just some errors, and that happens when you're writing an article, you know that. She did get the quotes right about how, you know, this church has always been about serving others and reaching out to its residents in the community. And we are at a point where we thought that we should take care of what God has given us and being good stewards. And so I went to Sam's the other day to get everything for the breakfast, and I didn't know that this paper was out yet. Fellow Baptist from Pepsibol, the choir director. I like her, but she sometimes intimidates me. So I see her in the park, and she always approaches me, and so I see her park, and I'm thinking, "Oh, gosh, I have milk, I didn't get a car." "I'm very envious of your church's tax stand." That's what I said. And she said, "You guys are just doing all kinds of things." I thought she was talking about the backpack. "Oh, yeah, we got the backpack tomorrow, y'all." She goes, "No, I read that article in the paper." I said, "Oh, is it in the Shinston News?" She goes, "I think that's great that you're able to do those things." She goes, "We're struggling and have somebody to put a roof on." And I just read that. I really was blessed. And I kind of wasn't, "Man, we're struggling put this roof on at Hepzibah." And she said, "That article really blessed me." And I'm glad that we did that. So you might want to check this article out that talks about what we're doing and what's about to happen. And you know, I prayed after I read that you know, people wouldn't read that the wrong way and people wouldn't take that the wrong way. But at the same time, maybe someone might be looking for a church. Right? They just read that article. I don't know. And maybe they're looking for a church that's going to have new carpet, newly painted organ pipes, right? But this project, certainly, not about any of us. But God wants us to do our part being faithful, and to God be the glory. So I'm excited about that. And again, this is just another opportunity to reach out. You know, yesterday we had the opportunity to reach out at the Lighthouse. I really want to thank everyone that had a part in that. If you were there yesterday, man, we had some people that had some real needs. Had someone that called yesterday, and she was just in a difficult place. And her kids come here, and she said, I just can't get there. But my kids really are hungry and need clothes and would like a backpack. I said, we'll come get them. We'll come pick them up anyway. And their mom really needs prayer. We prayed for their mom. Is that we're supposed to be going through a backpack or a pancake that people might realize that they need to pray for their mom? Their mom's in a difficult place. Had a young man that literally walked in and didn't have any clothes on. This part was covered, but just, and he was a mess. So I just kind of jumped up and helped him quickly. He said, I'm just having a hard time. Well, you could look at him, and we could tell that he was having a hard time, a very hard time. And so I tried not to worry. I thought about it all day yesterday, even last night, because I'm not sure. Say he lived in town somewhere, but I mean, we literally had to give him a shirt to wear and some shoes to wear. He needed some pancakes, needed more pancakes. And I think, wow. And for some people, he wandered kind of, oh, what's going on here? But so he was okay. He just needed some help. He saw that sign down there that said free on it. And he wasn't really sure, but he thought he could get a shirt. So he needed a shirt. So we gave him a shirt. And was talking to this young man that had him in fourth grade, had lots of special needs and lots of learning disabilities, but graduated, has a job, and is going to get married. And he asked me if I would do his wedding. And I said, where are you going to do that? He says, I'm out in my backyard with Haywood. And I said, well, okay, well. He goes, I don't have anywhere else to have it. He says, I don't really go to church. This would be a nice place to have it, but I don't really go to church. And I said, well, you can have it here. But now you can do it. And Luann had him in school, too. She says, oh, you can do the meal. And so he came back like three or four times. Are you sure that you can do that for us? And the dad came in. He went and got his dad. His dad said, can you really do it? We don't have a lot of money. We can't really do a wedding. We're going to just have a little ceremony. Bobby thought, you can come and do it. And I said, well, we'll make it happen here. So lots of things happened over there across the street yesterday. It wasn't just about a bunch of stinky, smelly clothes that some of them are still in a bag, right? And when you put a bunch of clothes together, think about that, you know, it wears you out. And most of them were clean, but I'm just saying a lot of people don't like to do those kind of things. Oh, I'm not helping with the clothing giveaway. I'm just not into that. And that's okay that you're not into that. There are lots of things you can do for the glory of God, right? And thank you to those that did that because those clothes. And lots of people say, man, I really look forward to this every year. And they do. They look forward to that. And really count on it for their kids and some snacks that were saw kids already eating the snacks in the backpack, which really that's okay, but they apparently were hungry and get more pancakes, right? To God be the glory for the great things he has done here in this church and continues to do. And so this morning, and thinking about what it is we are to be doing as Christians, as the body of Christ, and the great things that we should be engaging in, what are they? And you know, we all should be doing our part. I'm not talking about just you and I. I'm talking about all of us as Christians in the family of God doing our part. And in John chapter 15, it talks about hearts. In John chapter 15, we're looking at verses 1 through 17. It talks about the vine and the branches. And what I take from that this morning, and what I want you to take from this morning is that, are we doing our part? Are we doing our part as a part of the kingdom of God here on earth? So as we look this morning in John chapter 15, beginning with the first four verses, it says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He's the one in charge, right? My Father in heaven, he's the one. We talked about that last week, about God being the creator of all things. And when God created, as we read in Genesis, he looked at all that and said, it is good, right? We talked about the Creator and the promises through the ark that we visited in Kentucky, and that he is the gardener, he's the creator, he's the one in charge, right? And it's funny, it's really funny at anything that's happening at the Lighthouse. If someone comes in and has a question about a price, or if someone had a question yesterday about something that was happening to give away, someone said, who's in charge of you? I'll be in a red shirt and say the pastor. Well, no, I don't really know about size 14. Underwear, you know what I mean? I don't really know about that. I'm just here saying, good morning, we're glad you're here. You know what I mean? And the pancakes are across the street, right? God's in charge here. And it goes on here and talks about, he cuts off every branch in me that does not bear fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Are we bearing fruit? Are we doing what God calls us to do? Can people see Jesus in us and all the ministries and everything that we're having here and everything that's happening in your life? Can people see fruit? I mean, God is in charge. He's the one in control. And he wants us to bear fruit. What's that mean? That people might see Jesus in us. That we're meeting needs and reaching out to people. Not asking any questions. No questions asked her yesterday. We didn't ask about your income. Didn't even ask where you live. Don't really care. Right? If you have a need, we're going to meet it. And God's going to take care of it. If you're cheating the system, so to speak, God will take care of you too. But I believe everybody there yesterday had a need, and we were to meet that. and we met that need to the best of our ability. And remain in me, and I will remain in you. That's really important. Remain in Jesus, put him first. God says, I'm not lily. I'm right here. Must, no branch can bear by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So everything that you're doing, is it for you or for this church? Or is it for, you know, for the glory of God, right? This article is for the glory of God, right? Everything that's happening, everything that you're doing, it's for the guy in charge, right? And God sets all this up for us to do good. Again, as we looked at last week, prepares us to do good. It's just our decision that we have to make. I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Man, verse 5, apart from me, you can do nothing. And again, just talking to some people yesterday, you're apart from God. You need to get in church. You know what I mean? You really need him. You know what I mean? This is God meeting a need today. And even this morning, we talk about prayer. Someone said, man, God really answered that prayer. When we started praying immediately, that's what to do. God really answered that prayer. You know, first when someone's in an accident or something tragic has happened, you think the worst. And, you know, I am the vine and you are the branches. He remains in me. You know, we had our retreat to Canaan Valley. I was looking forward to that Canaan Valley retreat at the land of Canaan. And we took the middle school kids there. Now, I've never been in that condo. There's like two bedrooms. It's about four people in a bed. There's a couch pulled out. But we had 15. And Bethany and I. And God bless my wife. I mean, she just really looks forward to that Canaan trip and really looks forward to it when we get back for next year. But the kids love it, and we had a great time, and we just try to bring them together before school starts and everything. But I'll tell you this story, may not relate, but I guess God's always with us, right? Right. So there's a horse stable there, and you know, I continue to tell these kids, you got to be listening and paying attention. I'm telling you this morning, we got to listen and pay attention to what God has us to do. Sometimes you don't listen, something can happen. And even in Bible school, I told those kids, you know, if you don't listen to God, you might end up with boils all over you. Because we read about in Exodus about the plagues and stuff. You got to listen to God, do what he tells you to do. But you need to listen to the people who are in charge, right? And so we're getting ready to go ride the horses, and the kids come running in. Brooklyn Davis is a professional horse rider, right? She knows all about horses. That's great. So she come running in, and they're like, Aiden got bit by a horse in the nipple. I said, what? What are you talking about? Like, seriously. I'm thinking, oh my gosh. Okay, well, we should probably call 911. I mean, I'm imagining all this blood. I'm thinking, this is really gross. This is really gross. And so they come running in, and sure enough, I mean, it was right under there, and it was bruised pretty good. And he just didn't know how it happened. How did it happen? I don't know. It just happened. I don't really think so. I mean, I'm not going to just bite you, because if I did, there's a problem that I need to take care of. So somehow I'll go find out. And you know what? We may not be able to ride horses today, because they might be like, those kids from the Baptist Church can't ride horses because, you know, they get bit. So we may not be able to ride horses today because of this. And I'm like, oh my gosh, are you sure? Well, I'm going to go find out what really happened. So there are lots of nice college, high school kids at work up there, but there's this cranky guy. He's a cranky horse guy, I guess. He's cranky. And he was cranky last year. He was cranky the year before. And he's not real cranky with me because I'm like, hey, how you doing? So I said, so I went up there and I said, hey, so Aiden says one of your horses is bit. Yep, sure is. And I said, now he doesn't seem to know a lot, but I don't really know a whole lot about horses. But I would think that he probably did something to antagonize this horse and cause this to happen. Well, I tell you, I told those kids at least two times to stay away from two horses. And that boy kept going back to that horse every time. And that's what he gets. And I said, well, that's exactly what he gets. You're exactly right. But I need to ask you, do we need to go to the hospital? Does he have some kind of horse disease? No, I said, you would ask that because I'm the, you know. And so these kids just, you know, I keep on about it. You have to have a health form. I went and looked at his health form. He had a current tetanus shot. And he said, all of our horses have had their shots, but he had a tetanus shot. He's good. But boy, he was sore. So when we go up there to ride horses, the cranky guy, he's the one that signs you the horses.
puts A on the horse up there. And A looks at me, I think, I'm not in charge here. I'm on a horse too. So I guess you'll have to make that happen. And so it all worked out fine. And you know, have you ever called a parent and tell them, now what I'm about to say to you, Christina, is really true. And then she starts laughing. She says, oh my gosh, is he okay? Is he bleeding? I said, well, no, I think he's okay. I mean, he is okay. But I tell you what, that's going to be a story that will be legendary, right? I mean, there's all different versions to it already. That's what really happened. And I said to him, I said, see, if you're not listening and paying attention, that's what happens. You have to do what you're told to do. I mean, you were told not to do that. That's what you were told not to do. Like, that happened to Adam and Eve. They were told not to eat the apple, right? I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me, apart from me, you can do nothing, right? Wherever we are, wherever we go, is God with you? Yes, yeah, always with you. But are you acknowledging that he's with you? I mean, if anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burn. Wow. But you know what? We sometimes do fall away. You know, we get busy. We don't mean to. We forget to acknowledge God. We forget to pray. We forget to ask him to help. He's still with us, isn't he? That's what's awesome about God. Folks, he is the gardener. He's the one in charge, right? He says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you and ask whatever you wish, it'll be given you. Just remain in him. Everything that you're doing, everything that you're involved in, are you remaining in God? Is God first? Is he the reason that you get up in the morning and do what you do? I believe that's the reason we do everything that we do here at the Baptist Church. It's listed here. It's for his glory, that we remain in him, that God would be pleased with what we're doing here. And as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Remain in the love of Jesus, right? Remain in Jesus. Put him first. Are you being fruitful? You know, we think about all the ministries that are happening here in the church, but there are lots of things that you can do to be fruitful. You can be helping people all around you. And not just because it's a church-related activity, right? As the children of God, as the church, that's what we're to be doing. Obeying my commands, again, it's very simple. We teach our kids to follow Jesus, you know? I don't know if you've watched that. There's a movie called I Believe. You should watch that. We watched that with the kids, and we have a discussion. We watched God Is Not Dead, too. I mean, there's a whole series of those. But in this movie, I Believe, you know, this boy was accused of doing all this healing. This little boy wasn't doing anything. He has believed that God could take care of these people and can meet their needs. And that's what he does, and because he loves us. And so he tells us to do that, right? To remain in him. How do we remain in Jesus? Well, reading his word, praying to him, being in fellowship together, doing ministry together, doing what he calls us to do. Love each other as I loved you. Well, I believe in all the church, years that I've been a part of this church, boy, we've had some disagreements here and certainly some struggles, but I believe that we've remained in love. And that I told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Do you find joy in helping? I find joy in helping people. Those conversations I had yesterday helping that guy that was really having a bad day, I found joy in helping him and getting him off and just wondered, well, I wasn't even going to go look for him last night because I'm not sure where he was, right? He just needs some help. Love each other as I loved you. That's what God tells us to do. He loves us, right? We say that. Greater love is no one than this. They lay down his life. Jesus laid down his life for us. And you are my friends if you do what I command. Wow. See, that's interesting too, you know. Like, you get little kids say that. If you do what I tell you, we'll be friends. If you do what I tell you, I'll give you my lunch money. If you do what I tell you, I'll give you my milk money. Right? But Jesus says that we'll be friends. Just do what I ask you to do. Right? Do as I ask you to do. Every time I read that, and I was reading that this morning, and it brought me all the way back. I said this before when I was in the third grade and started that Sunshine Club in third grade in Mrs. Rogers' class. We told those kids if they give us $5, they can be in our club. We got in big trouble over that. What happened to the money? We tell people, if you do what I tell you, I'll do this for you. Well, God says, I'll be with you. I'll remain in you forever. Jesus says, I'll always be with you. I'll be your friend if you do what I command. Now, it doesn't say anything in there. Can mess up. No. I mean, God still loves us, right? And in verse 15, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends. For everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. See, that's what Jesus came to do, right? I mean, he came to live out what God had already said. He came in human form to help us understand that you got to remain in Jesus. Remain in me. Be fruitful, right? And verse 16 and 17, you did not choose me, but I chose you. I think we forget that sometimes in our faith. God chose us all. God wants us all to surrender our lives and be with him and live for Jesus. But it has to be your choice to accept that invitation. It says that, but I choose you and appoint you to go bear fruit, fruit that will last. And the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. Love each other. That's certainly the command of the church, is to love each other, to love everyone. That's the command of us as Christians, as a family of God, to love each other. And God's commanding us and telling us to be fruitful. What's that mean? To show that you love me. To show that you love each other. Reach out to people and help people. God gives me opportunities, not just because I'm the pastor, because I pray that God would use me every day. God would use you every day. And it might just be in a way that you would just talk to someone, have a conversation with them. They just need someone to talk to, right? This is my command. Love each other. Doing your part. What is your part? Love each other. What is your part? Being fruitful, right? Doing what God calls you to do. Doing what he asks you to do, right? And sometimes we don't listen to God says that I'll always be with you, I'll always love you, but God wants us to do what he asks us to do so that we receive full benefit, right? Love each other. I believe you're here this morning. Yeah. We're trying our best to love God. We're trying our best to love each other. And John, again, as I think about God and what he means to me, again, I think about this church and all the opportunities that we have had in ministry here and what we've done together, all for the glory of God. And as it says here, that you did not choose me, but I chose you. So see, God has chosen everybody. There's all these seats are supposed to be full. Every church should be full this morning. Everyone. Because God has chosen us to be in his presence. And it says here that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. That's what Jesus is saying. As you ask God, we got to be careful of that. God won't give you everything you want. He'll give you what he thinks that you need, right? And isn't that what you want? I want what God wants for this church. I want what God wants for my family. I want what God wants for all of you. I want what God wants for me. And so moving forward, and as we leave here today, just making the most of those opportunities. And one of the things for me is I just, when someone had, like, yes, God, I just think, oh, God, everybody's okay. I hope they don't have many more pancakes, right? I hope they got all the clothes they need, right? And several people here yesterday that walked here. And I'm like, God bless Mr. Miles. We give that Mr. Miles a hard time, but man, he'll do anything. I said, Mr. Miles, take those people home. Where's that at? And I said, I don't know. They had like 15 bags. And I said, where are you guys going over? They were walking to the Go Mart. And I said, with all that stuff, so we don't have a car. I said, oh, no, Mr. Miles, you'll be right back. He's got somebody else home. And So we did it, right? Love each other, right? Don't ask any questions, right? Father, we thank you this morning. God, we thank you for the opportunities that you give each of us to be fruitful, to share your love, to meet needs of other people. God, we're thankful for the ministries of this church and reaching out. And God, we just want to love you in return. We know everybody in this room knows how much you love us, that you sent your son Jesus, and he did what he did. Because he loved us that much. God, we thank you for that. God, we thank you for remaining in us. God, that we're a part. Help us to do our part. God, we messed up and made horrible decisions. That happens. But God, you still love us and forgive us. We just got to remain in you. Stick with you. God, again, those who are dealing with a struggle this morning, all of us in this room have something that we're going through. All of us. We certainly know someone who is. God, we got to stick with you. We got to remain in you. And you said you're right there. You never leave us or forsake us. We thank you for that. Thank you, God, for loving us. For we ask all these things.